Many Christians have the misconception that God is recording their sins against them. They think that every time they commit a sin, God is writing it down and going to make them give an account of it when they stand before Him on the day of judgment. Not so, beloved, not so. I'm James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News? As a born-again believer, God is not charging your sins against you. Did you know that? Did you know that God is not sitting in heaven with some angel as his secretary writing your sins or recording your sins against you? God is not holding one sin against you. Not one. There is not one sin in your life as a born-again Christian. Did you know that? Did you know that? There is not one smidgen, one taint, one particle, one speck of sin in your life. Because Colossians 3:4 says that since the new birth, when Jesus Christ was born into your heart by faith, that Christ Jesus himself became your life. Because you hear many evangelists say, you have to give your life to Jesus. Beloved, let me tell you something. Let me clue you in on this. You have no life to give to Jesus. He gives his life to you. I repeat, you have no life to give to Jesus as a sinner, because as a sinner, in God's sight, you are dead in trespasses and sins, and dead people don't have a life to give. You come to Jesus, and when he's born into your heart after you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins, he's born into your heart. And Colossians 3:4 says, at that moment, Jesus Christ himself becomes your life. Many people are preaching, you have to get sin out of your life. As a born-again believer, you have no sin in your life because Jesus Christ has become your life, and in him is no sin at all. And I'll repeat the statement I made earlier. As a born-again believer, God is not charging your sins against you. God is not imputing sin against your record in heaven. Why is that? Because he has stated in his holy word that sin is not being charged against you where there is no law. Read it in Romans 5:14. It says, sin is not charged against you where there is no law. And you are not under the law, but under grace. Only where a law is, can you break it. And once you break a law, that is sin. The Bible says that sin is a transgression of the law. In other words, sin is the breaking of a law. And where there is no law, there can be no sin, because you can't break a law to commit sin. Since the definition of sin, according to 1 John, is the transgression or the breaking of a law, as a born-again believer, God has taken you out from under the covenant of the law and put you under the covenant of grace, so that he will not be charging your sins against you. Now, as a believer, you still commit sin, believe it or not. Billy Graham commits it. These holy people in the ministry commit it. I commit it. You commit it. You'll commit it tomorrow. You'll commit it today. There is no way around it, because we have a nature in us. It's called the flesh. And the Bible says in Romans 7:25 that my flesh, your flesh, the evangelist's flesh, the preacher's flesh, your pastor's flesh of a human man commits sin. Our fleshly nature commits sin. Our old man, the flesh, it says in Romans 7:25, he serves the law of sin. The Bible talks about and speaks of servants of sin. You're not a servant of sin as a born-again believer. I don't care if you have a drug habit. I don't care if you're a drunkard. I don't care whatever you do. In God's sight, if Jesus Christ is in your heart, you are no longer a servant of sin. You have been freed. Now, you might have these problems that you can overcome, but in the sight of God, you are no longer a servant of sin, because the only part of you which God considers to be a servant of sin is your flesh nature. And though you know it or recognizes it or not, right now, as you listen to me, your fleshly nature is still a servant of sin, because Jesus Christ died to redeem your soul. He did not die to redeem your fleshly sinful nature. Even after you have received the new birth, which is Jesus Christ being born into your heart by faith, your fleshly nature is not born again. Your fleshly nature is not changed. Your fleshly nature cannot conform into spiritual things. Your fleshly nature has a mind which is against God. He has works, the wicked works of his mind which is against God. Your flesh nature has a heart which is deceitful and desperately wicked even after the new birth. In the new birth, you were given a new creation, a new heart, a new spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. You were given life. Jesus Christ became your life. This all occurred in the new birth, when Christ Jesus was born into your heart by faith and joined himself unto your soul. And as it is written, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. Well, your flesh nature had no part in that. He had no part or lot in that matter. He's the one in you that continues to serve the law of sin. He's the one in you, since he serves the law of sin, the Bible considers him to be a servant of sin. And when your soul was joined unto him, you were called in the flesh. You were considered to be in the flesh. But Romans 9:8-9 says, Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, that you, the born again believer, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Because you read your Bible and pray every day? No. Because you go to church and pay your tithes? No. The Bible says that you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, because the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. And that's the only reason, and that's the only claim you have to be in the Spirit. Since the day that Christ Jesus was born into your heart, you have never been in the flesh from that time. I don't care if you've never darkened the church door. I don't care if you never said a prayer since then. Since the day you believed the gospel and obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, which is the gospel of the grace of God, that God so loved you that he gave his son to die for you, that if you believe that Jesus Christ came into this world and died for your sins and rose again, then you shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says at that moment you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness where you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And the Bible says when that occurred, Jesus Christ clothed your soul with salvation. He clothed your soul in righteousness. He placed your soul in himself. You are now in Christ. Your soul is in Christ. And in Christ is no sin at all. Your soul is preserved perfect in Christ. It's preserved. Preserved perfect in Christ. Satan can't reach in there and take you out. You have no power to take yourself out. Once the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed your soul, it has been declared eternally clean. The Bible says that Jesus Christ has cleansed our soul in his own blood, and Jesus Christ himself stated that that which I cleanse, you are to never call common or unclean. Because when he cleansed your soul by the blood, his own blood, that he shed on Calvary, you are never to be declared unclean again. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied into your soul. It's more precious than silver and gold. The blood of Jesus on your soul has made you worthwhile unto God. You have worth unto God because he paid such a high price. He shed his only begotten Son's blood upon the cross so that you could obtain forgiveness of sins. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Well, our sins have been all taken out of the way. Our past sins, Peter tells us, have been all taken out of the way. Why did he say past sins? Because the sins we're going to commit tomorrow, they're considered past. Because when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, how long ago was it? It was 2,000 years ago. So his blood has the power to forgive future sins. If not, then everybody born after his resurrection couldn't get forgiveness. His blood cleanses us from all sin. The sin we committed on yesterday, the sin we commit today, and the sin we're going to commit tomorrow. The Bible says that we have eternal redemption. And it says in Ephesians 1:7 that redemption is the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, it says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ obtained eternal redemption for us. And since redemption is the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus, then eternal redemption is the eternal forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus. Under the law, we had to forgive others to get forgiveness. But under the new covenant of grace, we don't forgive others to ensure our own forgiveness. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32 that we forgive others because we have been forgiven. We have been forgiven. Past tense. God is not forgiving us day by day by day by day. God has forgiven us once and for all, and he's not charging our sins against us
because
sin is not imputed where there is no law, and we are not under the covenant of the law, but under the covenant of grace. Therefore, our sins are not being charged against us. And the only forgiveness taking place within the body of Christ is a forgiveness that a believer uses toward other believers, and the forgiveness that a believer exercises towards sinners which have sinned and transgressed against them. That is the only operation of forgiveness that's taking place in the body of Christ, because God only forgives us one time. It's a one-time process which is forever active. Once the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your soul, that's a one-time process which is forever active. You're always going to be seen in the sight of God as having no taint of sin upon you, because you are now separated from your fleshly nature. And the Bible says that now when you, the born-again Christian, sins, it is no longer you that doeth it, but it's the sin which resides in your flesh. Likewise, when you, the born-again believer, commit a righteous act, it is no longer you that doeth it, but it is the Christ in you that gets the glory. So whether you sin, your flesh gets the glory and the charge, or whether you commit something righteous, you don't get the glory for it. It's the Christ in you. Either it's the sinfulness in your old man, or it's the righteousness in your new man that gets the glory. And since you are now joined unto the Lord as a new creation in Christ Jesus, when you commit sin, it's all relegated to your fleshly nature. The Bible says, if we sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Now that scripture scares many Christians to death, because they know that they sin willfully. Every last one of us sin willfully. If we were looking at the sum total of our being, you must have the complete and total separation of the two creations. One, to understand the book of the Bible, one creation in you is a new creation which cannot commit sin. The other creation in you is an old creation, the old man, which serves the law of sin. And the old creation of you, your fleshly nature, it serves sin willfully. And it will continue to serve sin and to sin willfully, even though you have experienced a new birth. That's why Paul said, the things that I don't want to do, I do, and the things that I want to do, I don't do, because I have this warring in my members, these two creations. One is totally righteous, and the other is totally unrighteous, because the Bible says, in the flesh is no good thing. That's why God performed an action of circumcision. Circumcision in the natural is cutting off the flesh which is unclean. Well, so it is in the spirit. We have a fleshly nature that was joined as one with our soul, and when we were joined into our flesh nature, we were considered to be in the flesh. So God crucified our old man, the flesh, at the cross of Jesus Christ. Romans 6:6 says, know this, that your old man, the flesh, has been crucified with him, that his old body of sin might be destroyed in the sight of God. Well, the operation of circumcision was performed at the cross, where God himself cut away your old sinful flesh nature at the cross of Jesus Christ. And now all you must do is be joined to the new man, which is accepting Christ Jesus into your heart. And once he gets in there, those two will be warring against each other, the one against the other, not to see which one's going to win. The Christ in us has already won. The flesh in us is already considered dead in trespasses and sins. But just the battle now is the new man's growth in grace. When a Christian sins, he's not to confess his sin. He's already been forgiven, eternally forgiven. He's not to confess his sin, because if you had to confess your sin to get fresh forgiveness, then the Bible says that Jesus Christ himself would have to suffer often, over and over and over again, from before the foundation of the world, because it would require that every time you committed a sin, you would need more forgiveness. And the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So Christ would have to come back down here and die for you, over and over and over and over for you and me and everybody else. He's not doing that. The Bible says he was made an offering for our sin once. He's our sin offering once and for all. Outside of, when you present your sin offering unto God, the Lamb of God, the holy, righteous Son of God, the blood of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, when you believe in Jesus and present that sacrifice before God, God accepts that sin offering, and all of your sins have been atoned for, past, present, and future. Now, you as a born-again believer, when you find yourself going contrary to the word of God and find your flesh nature committing a sin, What are you to do? Since you can't ask for forgiveness, you've already been forgiven. You are required and commanded to repent. Repent. Repent, if you look in the dictionary, it does not mean to confess. Repent means to get back on track. Do an about face. It does not mean to confess. Look in your dictionaries. Repent does not mean to confess. Repent means to turn away from it. And that's all that's required of you. Because God is not charging your sin against you because you are not under the law, but under grace, and you have redemption. Eternal redemption, which is declared to be the eternal forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News?